This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Southern episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the comics pro himself, Rich Early. Rich. Mm. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Never more true than today, I think. So I'm great, Josh. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Did you get over your cold?
Thankfully. Yeah, that thing kicked my butt, man. Last week, just out for a complete day, and then it just didn't seem to be getting better, and went to the doctor, got myself some amoxicillin, and now I'm on the mend. Ooh, Matt Jensen right out of the gate with thoughts on Oscar wins for the comic movies.
Thank you, Matt. Let's cover the topic of the day just a little bit, and then we'll we'll address that. So we're recording a Doxcast live, so if you're watching the stream, fantastic. Feel free to chime in and be part of the show. Otherwise, this will be this week's podcast, and then we're going to work to get podcasts. We finally had a breakdown last week and didn't have an episode, so this is going to be this week's, and then we will work hard moving forward to be on schedule every week. Our topic today, I came back from Comics Pro in Charlotte, North Carolina, which was a big industry convention. Lots of interesting stories. But one thing I want to mention about that, too, is on this week's comic show on Tuesday night, the 26th at 6 p.m., we will be showcasing all of the cool swag that we brought home. A lot of it will be for sale. A lot of it will be shown off. Some of it might be giveaways, but just want to make sure everybody should tune into that. It's going to be the visual equivalent of the Doxcast, I guess.
So good to see all the things that we're discussing here.
We also had a big announcement this morning. We talked about this on a podcast 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was on.
Last week. Okay, when we actually aired it.
Yeah. Oh, then we didn't miss last week. But Josh here is now the official web content manager for Paradox Comics.
Huzzah!
And there's a brand new website that is now up and live. There'll be lots of content being added. We're just getting started, so get ready. The calendar's in great shape. The registration system is. The e-commerce has, I think, 5 things to buy right now.
we're slowly building. That's the thing that we need to feel out and figure out. But we've already got some pre-orders for some items.
Yeah, and I think I hope this week we will hit the ground with that. You know, we need to have a meeting about some places to get information from, and to just start getting stuff listed. So,
yeah, and if anybody listening has their ear to the ground and there's something that you know is coming out that you are interested in, feel free to send it our way. We would absolutely look into it, and we can't put everything on the site, but if there's significant buzz around a board game or a particular comic book or something that we might not know about, we'd love to hear about it so that we can get it out there.
So Oscar wins real quick. So I was actually still driving back from Minneapolis hoping to not die last night during the Oscars. So I didn't, I really only read a quick recap. I'm aware that Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Movie. You know, I don't know if you've not seen it yet. Still,
yeah, I want to very much.
It's the first. Well, there are 2 animated movies in the last 5 years. I saw twice each in the theater. And the other one for me was the Batman the Lego movie.
Oh yeah, Lego Batman.
Batman. I loved that movie. I just thought that movie was phenomenal, and I felt about the same about Into the Spider-Verse as well. So saw them both twice.
Excellent. Yeah, I've heard nothing but positive stuff about Into the Spider-Verse. Like, people very excited about it.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I saw a commercial for it, 2 days before it came out in the theater, and thought, oh, is this a Netflix thing or a direct-to-video sort of deal? And it's like, oh, this is going to theaters. Interesting. And then people are just blowing up about it.
Yeah, and I do think there was a weird thing about it, that it didn't feel like a real movie or something.
Yeah.
You know, that it because there have been a lot of things like that, and... But, if you see it, it's one of the most true to what Spider-Man is all about movies made yet. I don't like it when people are like, this is the best Spider-Man movie. You know, like, yeah, a year ago you said Homecoming was the best Spider-Man movie, yeah. And 4 years before that, the Andrew Garfield movie was the, you know, and so on right. And so forth. So, but, I mean, it's an excellent movie on lots of levels. The two things I thought it did really well, there's a ton of things, but I'll just point out two things. It handles the origin story idea really well. It largely assumes you know who Spider-Man is, but also did origins in a really clever, fun way. That doesn't take up a lot of time in the movie. The other thing it did is it just has a lot of villains without devoting a third of the movie to trying to give you their backstory. And they're just like, hey, there's a villain. There's another villain. There's a villain, you know. And there's guys Spider-Man needs to fight. And they all have little personalities or get little moments or whatever. But you don't need to know everything about everyone all the time. You can just kind of tell the story and go with it. And I think that was really, as opposed to like Spider-Man 3. So.
Right. So. Pandora's box has been opened. We'll see the Spider-Man 2 movie rankings. Well, which Spider-Man 2? Because there are like four of them. No, yeah. Spider-Man Far From Home coming out soon.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yep.
Looks good.
So, and then what else? I know Black Panther won for something. They said it was
a couple of things.
Is it the MCU's first Oscar Awards? Was that what I heard? I apologize. That's where I'm a little out of the loop this morning.
Yeah, let me look this up again to see exactly what it won, because I was really surprised and happy that.
But I think it's, so this is what I think, right? So, you know, forever and a day, like, everybody's like, oh, they never give the Oscars to the superhero movie I liked or to the science fiction. It's not fair, right?
Yeah.
Most of those movies are crappy, you know? Like, we may like them a lot. There are Starship Troopers in the 90s, one of my favorite movies. It's a crappy movie, right? But I love that movie, right? I'm not offended it didn't win any Oscars. And that seems to be what a lot of fans think boils down to is like, oh, I loved X-Men 2. How come it didn't get an Oscar? You know, it's like, well, because it was really good at what it was, but it wasn't Oscar worthy. You know, like how many thousands of movies come out every year and 10 of them at most get nominated now
for an Academy.
And previously it was 5. Right. So,
yeah,
I mean, you know, but if people are actually going to be challenged to, instead of just like making a superhero movie first, making a good movie first, now we're in a different situation. And so it's partially the maturation of the marketplace that studios are willing to look at a movie and say that, like, hey, you know, the superhero movie could actually be good. You know, that makes that. And so they're willing to, you know what I mean? They're willing to. Make a good movie or devote the money it might take to do that. So
and that's, you know, I think my biggest thing with superhero movies, because they're still categorized as the summer blockbuster or whatever, you know, they're popcorn movies in a lot of people's eyes, and so they're looked over, you know, they're not The Notebook, it's not some, you know, dramatic piece that's meant to really do whatever, but I think they're phenomenal. I don't think that there's any reason they shouldn't be considered for Academy Award nominations. And it was several years ago now, but there was one Academy Awards where there was a bunch of just really flippant, offhanded remarks about comic book movies and just very dismissive of them. I think this was actually the same year that Guardians of the Galaxy came out, which Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, there's as much heart
and, that was a pretty excellent movie.
Character development in that script as any other movie you would watch, but because it was comic books and, you know, crazy space action and stuff, people were just like, "Well, that's meh." And I think James Gunn even that year wrote a very impassioned piece that was very well written in response to that, and just like, "Look, we don't expect to show up at the Academy Awards except for maybe a sound effects editing sequence or visual effects or something."
Yep,
but you don't need to treat this like, you know, why are you doing this? These are movies. This is the celebration of movies. Don't be elitist pricks, basically, is what he was saying. And I agree with that completely. And now, thanks to, you know, Into the Spider-Verse, but I think even more so Black Panther, because people still, you know, don't necessarily take animated features as seriously either, you know. There's a certain degree, but they're are very few animated features. I think there's maybe one that's actually been nominated for Best Picture. And I could be wrong about that. I'm maybe misremembering. But, you know, it's like, no, you're animated. You fit in this category. That's yours. But now, Black Panther won Best Original Music Score, Best Costume Design, and Best Production Design, and it was nominated for Best Picture, Sound Mixing, and Sound Editing.
The one that's most interesting on that list to me, actually, and I just want to shout out to Jen Brazier real quick. This episode is actually supposed to be about my comics pro trip, but we got off to a good topic here because of the Oscars last night. But yeah. The best costuming, I actually, that's the one that jumps out at me. To think that a superhero movie, that's a category that the, you know, the 17th century period piece wins.
Right, and there were a couple of those.
Right, exactly. You know,
Queen of Scots and yep. The Favorite, I think, were both up, and those are typically the ones that win of those period pieces. But go on.
Yep. So, I mean, that's that one really stands out to me. So.
Yeah.
And as a tribute to even probably the movie makers thinking about how they're making the movie, that if we don't... I mean, this ties into a lot of themes from Comics Pro, and comics in general is like, you know, if... I mean, they used to make movies where the town idiot had a comic book rolled up in his back pocket, and so that was a clue, you know, it was a visual clue that he was the town idiot, because that's, you know, because he had a rolled up...
Read those.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so it's definitely a perception issue, and it's great to have something to legitimize it, but, I mean, I think Into the Spider-Verse, I can't even say the name right, you know, it's a Miller and Lord written movie, right? And they wrote the first Lego movie and got kicked off of Solo and all that kind of stuff and gave us this. And I mean, the movie is just brilliantly written. It's full of heart. It's got great characters. It changes the dynamic of Spider-Man by introducing a non-white Spider-Man but still being Spider-Man, you know. And the movie's just so good, so on so many levels.
Yeah. Derek has a comment here. He says, I found it funny how Marvel had so many love interests in the MCU, and then they just dropped those plot lines.
That's actually, Derek, that's a really good point. I just read an article about this, or I'm a YouTube video watcher lately, and I watched 10 plot lines that the MCU dropped, and Derek's absolutely correct that other than Pepper Potts and Tony Stark, they basically dropped... Well, the one they pointed out, right, was that the first Hulk movie is considered in continuity, and Betty is in that movie, and there's a love interest between Bruce and Betty, which vanishes completely, and then there's this weird sort of like Banner Scarlet Witch relationship. Black Widow relationship, which I actually find Scarlett Johansson, which I find kind of compelling and interesting for what it's based on, the tenderness of it. But yeah, I mean, it's just an example of like, where did that relationship go? So
well, they still referenced it in Thor Ragnarok, and you know,
not Betty.
No.
Not Betty Ross.
No,
you know,
Black Widow.
Yeah,
one's still there, but there's you know,
So
hasn't been time for it.
You know, but no, Derek, you're spot on, dude. Like I agree with you a lot that's something that the MCU hasn't been great with. So anyway,
yeah. Well, let's continue on to Comics Pro. I think
This
is a fantastic discussion, and I could honestly go on farther with it. But for right now, let's go ahead and dive into your trip and what you experienced and what you brought back.
Our Colin Anderson, friend and employee, is tuning in. Hi, Colin. Hope you had a good week. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. So, I tell you, one thing, I just want to talk about Charlotte for just a second, too. So, I don't know, have you been to the South or to the South much at all?
I've been to the South. I've been to Mississippi and I've been to Georgia.
Okay. Georgia, you know, we're getting closer.
Somewhere in that
region.
So, I've never been to the Carolinas.
So, Charlotte is it's like the 17th largest city in the country. It's very Minneapolis. It's Charlotte itself is like 890,000, and the total population is about 3 million or whatever. But I don't know if this is a South thing or what, but this is kind of weird. You know how when you travel, most of the time you in your head just would have a... If I said to you Georgia, you might have a snapshot. First thing that pops into your head is an image from your trip, and you're like, I know what Georgia was like.
Right.
Charlotte was like a blank slate for most... And we were talking about this the way home last night, too. Like, there was nothing to me that identified Charlotte. And I was wondering if it's... You know, it's a town that was founded in, I think it was 1760-something, according to the Wikipedia page. I was just super curious about this, right? And it definitely was kind of sprawling. And I know, like, the Northeast is not sprawling. It's all packed in, you know. But I'm wondering if that's what the Southeast is like, where it's just sort of sprawled out. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no experience there, you know. Downtown was nice, you know. It was a big city downtown, and we drove by, like, Carolina Panthers Stadium, Bank of America, and stuff like that, you know. But I don't know. I just couldn't get a feel for the place. So I don't know if that rings any bells with anybody's travels anywhere else or, you know, but
yeah, I think I can kind of get what you're getting at, because I'll tell you, you know, my snippets of Mississippi and Georgia are probably pretty limited. But I went to Atlanta for some training, and we went out one night to find a restaurant someone had recommended to me, a good burger joint. And, you know, so going from the airport to our hotel, it was all, you know, the city, driving on the freeway, you know, it was pretty big and city-like. There's a Coca-Cola factory, you know, all yep. that good stuff. And then when we went to this burger joint, the guy who drove us took us on a little bit of a roundabout route, and went through some more, like, more residential areas and, like, the hills and stuff there, which felt a lot more like Mississippi to me, from my experience being down in Mississippi, because I went to Grenada, Mississippi, which is a smaller town, and I'd been to Missouri too at some point, but yeah, there was a very big disconnect between those two pieces of, you know, here's the city, here's Atlanta, Georgia, it's huge and busy and, you know, all this stuff, and then here's, like, this very quiet, you know, big, all these big homes in these various areas, and yeah, you know, just being there for whatever, like a week, like I was there, you know, I didn't leave my hotel much other than to get on the shuttle to go to the
train. Well, yeah, I mean, and that, right, I mean, that was part of it for me. It was the only three times I went out were to go eat, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then the one time was to downtown. Well, anyway, I mean, I'm kind of derailing a little bit with that, but it was just, I don't know, it was an interesting experience. When I've been to, I know what Portland feels like. I know what Chicago feels yeah. like. I know what, and Charlotte was just different. It was, and I mean, like, Jen and V went to a museum, saw actual Picassos, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, so there were, I mean, there's lots to do, and we didn't explore much of it. You know, I went to the ninth ranked out of 2,000 restaurants on Saturday night. It was like my big Charlotte experience, you know. So, but yeah, well, anyway, I mean, Comics Pro, most people don't know what that is. It is a retailer trade organization. What does that mean? It's basically, you know, we're not unionized or anything like that, but it's an affiliation of comic book retailers who, you know, we're all in it together, and so, as you know, you work for Laser Systems, right, as your yeah. full-time job, and now you work for Paradox as your
right.
But you know, the thing that people don't know, most people I think have jobs for potentially, especially if you have like a big corporation, whether it's, you know, Target or Microsoft, or, you know what I mean, like there's yeah. there's a giant entity, and so everything can be really, like, it's corporatized, it's all the same. You go to a Target in Fargo, or you go to a Target in Charlotte, it looks the same, the same products, things like that, you know.
Right.
One of the things that I, and I knew this for years, because in Fargo it was like this, Lantern Comics, Comic Junction, Paradox Comics, everybody, you know, every comic shop is different, but the rugged individualism and stubbornness of comic book retailers, myself included, is both a blessing and a curse. You know, it was one of the things that I really drove home for me on Thursday when the conference was starting, you know. It's just, you know, you've got your favorite comic shop or whatever, but if you really think about it, every single one is a different personality, right? And it's a blessing and a curse, you know.
Right.
You know, what the people who like me for a reason. The people who like Kip and Comic Shop, you know what I mean? Like, it's my store. I sell the same products Comic Junction does. Our stores look nothing alike whatsoever.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
no. That's an interesting thing, because I hadn't really given that much thought either. But yeah, I would imagine you've got a lot of very different people, but all with the same kinds of goals and
right.
That's
well, yeah. we want to stay alive is mostly our goals. But
it's a good goal to have.
Yeah. So that was on display on day one of the conference, and I had a big swing. Our industry really needed to get together, and retailers were there, but publishers were there. DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Image Comics, IDW, Boom, and a bunch of Aftershock, and all kinds of other people were there. And that was the case last year. This is the one place. There aren't fans there. You know, there aren't right. customers there. So it's not, I mean, all those people are also at San Diego or New York Comic Con or things like that. But they're also dealing with the public as well, you know, the customers. Mm-hmm. This was just us. This was just the people who make the stuff down to the people who are trying to sell the stuff. And we all went in with a lot of doom and gloom and that's right. I mean, the direct market industry is in a lot of trouble. It absolutely is, and it still is today. That isn't, just because I had a good conference didn't mean that now it's not, we fixed it.
You didn't solve it?
No, yeah.
What were you doing down there?
But we all got together, and Thursday got off to not the right start, but I'm telling you, we actually listened to each other. It's 2019, and you all know what your Facebook and dinner conversations are like, right? Mm-hmm. This was a group of people who finally kind of got it that we're in trouble, and we all publishers were asking us, what can we do in your store? What do we got to do? You know, and that was totally different than last year. Last year we all knew we went to Portland last year for the same thing. We knew we were in trouble, but it was more like we were just floundering. We were like, boy, we're in trouble, you know.
Right.
And now we showed up at this, and it was like, all right, we're in trouble. What are we going to do about it? And that was what was so completely different about it than and I haven't been to a ton of them, but it was awesome. Boom Studios. There are so many takeaways for me from the thing that I couldn't fill up 40. I mean, I could fill up like 4 hours, but my brain is still trying to process everything that I witnessed and participated in. I mean, one thing that happens is Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, they put us into small groups, and all the vendors who are there are at round tables, and our group gets 10 minutes at every round table.
Oh, it's like a speed dating
Yeah, speed publishing, right? So and it's exactly what it's like. So you have 10 minutes with about four or five of you talking to a publisher or a supplier or whoever, and I mean, I can't, I'm not done, I'm not even remotely done unpacking what happened and all those things, huh. You know? So they were awesome. And the same thing happened last year, but this year was much better because last year it was sort of like them talking at us, right. And this year it was like, what are we gonna do? You know what I mean? And it was it was amazing, and so
very cool.
So much different. The biggest publisher that really shaked and baked this place was Boom Studios. A lot of people you may not be super familiar. Recently, they've picked up the Firefly and Buffy comics. And they have a lot of other cool stuff. Well, the thing is, you know, they've been a smallish publisher, but they have taken the lead in trying to fix this industry. And at their speech in front of everybody, Phil Sadlick, who's now a friend of mine, he's there. He's either their, I'm going to forget his title, but he's either their publisher or president. And he did something unbelievable. He said, okay, I'm in a room full of, he was in front of all the other publishers and all the retailers who were there. He said, you know, I've been listening to you guys, retailers, complain about this stuff. And you're right. You know, we're in a lot of trouble. But I'm going to give you some stats. For the last 8 years, the same five comic publishers have been the top five comic publishers. Think about that. All you do is come here and tell us everything's wrong with the industry. It's broken. It's not working. We're all in trouble, right? But you're voting with your dollars. You haven't, you say these things about Marvel, they're the number one publisher. You say these things about Image and DC, they're the number two and three publishers. Nothing actually changes. And it really sunk home with me that I can't keep going to someone, or I can't just go to Facebook or a conference or a publisher and complain into the void, right? If I don't act and take that responsibility on an individual level and as a group of retailers, then what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, there were huge moments at this event, and that was one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is a weird podcast, right? Because, like, I could talk the whole thing through, but I don't, but that's, you know, there's a reason there's two of us here, so I'm trying to figure out how to avoid doing that. So what, but what Boom has done, I'm going to talk about this right away, because we are going to beat this drum. They have a book coming out in August. It's called Once in Future, number one. There's already articles up about it. It doesn't come out until August. It already has a code in Diamond. It's already available to order. So they're doing everything that retailers have ever asked for, but they are challenging us to step up to the plate, and they're giving us an opportunity to basically send a shot around the industry. So Once in Future, number one, it's by Kieran Gillen, and I forgot the artist because I should have looked before the podcast started. So that's fantastic. It's a, I believe it's a 6-issue miniseries, and their tagline is they're going to do to Indiana Jones what Mark Millar and did to MI6 for Kingsman, and so you know it's a refresh, you know, it's an updating for the era, but all our complaints boil down to a series of things. One of our complaints: there are too many variant covers. Once in Future we'll have one cover. No variants. Awesome. I love it. Right? And we don't even, a lot of us don't even mind two covers.
Right.
What we might, War of the Realms number one from Marvel Comics is on final order cutoff today. I got to go work on that after this podcast. It has 25 variant covers.
Who has wall space for that?
No one. And it's a $6 cover price. If a customer walked in today and said, I want every cover, it would cost them $150 to buy every cover of War of the Realms number one. Can you just sink that in, right?
Yeah.
Regularly, there are publishers who regularly, Dynamite does this a lot, will have a Red Sonja relaunch. It'll have 13 covers. And not only that, issue 7 will have at least 4.
That's...
Yes, wow. Yes, yeah. So these books, if the reason they do it is to try to make them financially viable. So what happens in the Diamond? This is I'm going to tell you exactly how this works. Mm-hmm. So let's say Red Sonja number 7. Diamond takes covers A, B, C, and D, mm-hmm. and wraps them together for a total number of sales.
Okay.
And this is why this happens. So there are thought to be about 2,200 brick-and-mortar comic book retailers, okay? So a book like that, even with those four covers, gets about 4,000 or 5,000 copies in sales. Mm-hmm. That means at most 2 copies per shop on average.
Sure.
So we're already not even ordering all 4 covers, obviously, right? But and somebody out there, like Midtown, is ordering the majority of them. So that book is not even penetrating probably, you know, 25% of shops in the marketplace. And if it was just one cover, wouldn't even meet the threshold to be printed to make it into Diamond's catalog.
Hmm.
Do you know how predatory and poor practices this is? Last month, in previews, there were, I'm going to get the numbers slightly off, but there were about 1,100 single-issue comics offered. Only 460 of them were different comics. 59% of everything offered was a variant cover. That is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a mind-boggling situation, right?
Yeah.
And so we went in and we told them, and I mean, why are they doing it? Because they can't make any money. But what I went to Comics Pro last with as an individual was saying, we are not addressing the fact that people don't want to read comics. We are abusing the few people left who are reading comics. And we just keep losing them and losing them and losing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Boom says, okay, Once in Future number one is going to have one cover. That's it. So is every issue of the series, right? Number two thing we ask for all the time, well, actually, the number one thing we ask for all the time, returnability.
Mm-hmm.
Once in Future number one is 100% returnable. No matter what I order, I can return it. They actually even have an affidavit program, which I'm now signed up for as of this weekend. I should have done it a year ago, but I'm a little – I can be slow on the uptake.
Sure.
So I'm signed up now. I signed up there. I went to their table. I was like, where's the form? and it applies to a lot of their line. They have a lot of great policies. They're the most reader-friendly publisher in the world. They are leading an attempt at change, and that's what I'm getting at with this book. So 100% returnable. I order 1,000 copies. I sell 2. I can return 998 of them. Doesn't matter. Yep. And they do an affidavit program. I don't even have to rip the covers off and send them back to them. I can tell them that I destroyed the comics, and they are done. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, starting with issue number 2, based on my orders of number 1, they will send me free copies to supplement my order. Okay? All so right. One cover, returnable, free copies. When the trade paperback comes out, when it's all said and done, it will be fully returnable. A publisher has made trade paperbacks fully returnable.
Wow.
I cannot tell you what I think, how much I highly I think of Boom Studios today. I would love it if a year from now I worked my butt off and made Boom Studios the number one, sold comic in Paradox. The problem is the product, not all their product is bad. That's not even my point, right? They don't have Spider-Man. They don't have Batman. Right. That's more what I'm saying, right? So anyway, this is amazing, right? And the last thing, what they are doing with us is we get a tiered increasing discount based on the cumulative order by all comic book retailers. They're not even there, so the more we order, the bigger discount we get on the comic. What he wants is for retailers to put this book in the top 25 of sales, which for them would be their best-selling book of all time. I'm hoping we put it in the top 5, but I think he set 20. I mean, they're smart. They set top 25 as a low-hanging fruit, right? So no matter what it does, if it makes top 10, if it does better than that, they're going to be able to sing the praises of that success. But why are they doing it? Of course, to promote themselves, right? But they're taking a huge risk. They are telling me to take a damn chance and put my money where my mouth is. They are putting their business on the line. They could lose, we could all order 1,000 copies and return 750 of them, still have had great in-store sales, but have just used them as a, impossible cushion, right? But that's the chance that they're taking by doing this thing. And what they want to happen is they want us to put that book up there so that DC listens to us when we talk to DC. Mm-hmm. And they want us, if it works, we may say to ourselves, I think I'm going to cut back on DC. I think I'm going to order more Boom. Yeah. And then DC might have to say, damn, why is that happening? Or DC and Marvel are big corporations and won't care. We don't know, right?
Right.
But someone has reached out a hand to us and said, come with us. Let's make the future. And the great thing about it is going back to talking about rugged individuals, that room can't agree on anything. Some retailers think there's too many comics. Some don't. Some think there's too many variants. Sure. Some don't. Some think we should have returnability. But they're just, nope, here's the way it is. I can't say enough positives. So Josh, you got to buy this comic when it comes out.
Oh, I see. Now that I'm an employee,
no,
I
want to
hold it over my head.
It's not because you're an employee. It's actually not because you're an employee. It's because you're a comic subscriber. I want my minimum for this book is my goal is to get every single comic subscriber to buy a copy of this book. On top of that, I'd love them to buy a copy to give to a friend. I'm going to come up with programs like I'm going to make the book fully returnable to Paradox. If you didn't like it, bring it back. Because why not?
Yeah.
I'm going to do stuff like maybe I'll give you 50% off a second copy if you're going to give it to a new reader. Let's sell 500 copies of this damn book for these guys. I mean, I'm serious. Let's do it. And Ian Parmenter and all these people watching right now, I want you to do this with us. If you believe in comic books and nerd culture and you believe in places like Paradox Comics, this is your chance to be a part of a change. You don't have to buy. I don't want you. I'm not asking you to buy $40 worth of comics every week. I'm asking you to help us do this thing and see if we can make a difference. So, yeah. I mean, for me, that was hands down the number one business thing, industry thing that happened at the show.
Sure.
A lot happened to that show, but this was this was fantastic.
Excellent. Well, that's really impressive. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the business aspect of it all, but to hear, because I've learned a bit from talking with you over the years and the state of things and, you know, what's happening with comics and what's not happening with comics. And so, I mean, basically it sounds like these people came in and just, like, it's like you gave them a list
yep.
of all the things that have been bothering you personally as a retailer, and they're like, all right, Rich, we're going to do this just for you. And you
yep.
know, but
so what do I do? Do I turn around and say, oh, well, I don't really want to buy that comic?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's great and everything, and I know I just complained to you for 5 minutes, and I know you just answered every one of my complaints, but eh. You know, and that was his point, is you're voting with your dollars, and you're telling Marvel that, you know, like, you hate everything Marvel does, but they're the number one thing you buy, you know, and I mean, there's some, that's a little misleading, right? Like, more customers want to buy Spider-Man than, you know, the Boom Book that came out this week, you know, like, that's, you know, but... You know, is that because we're stuck on that old brand and we're not building that Boom brand and pumping their books? You know, this is just brilliant. Like, Fargo, North Dakota is going to know who Boom Studios is by the time I'm done in August. I'll tell you that much. So.
Well, and that's something, and again, that's something we've talked about before, is that this joy of discovery is kind of lost. You know, you've got people, they subscribe to their comic books, they like these titles, they like these writers, they like these artists, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, absolutely, you follow a series, you follow a hero or a creator or whatever, because for some reason that speaks to you, and I'm not trying to say you shouldn't do that, but I'd be willing to wager there's a lot of people who walk in, they get what's in their box, and they walk back out. They don't look over the racks, they don't see if there's anything that jumps out at them, they don't notice this brand new title from an indie publisher and say, oh, well, that's weird, thumb through it and take a chance on it. And I think that's, you know, where, you know, it's not the main problem, it's not going to fix everything, but, you know, you get people who get so stuck, and it's like, okay, well, I read Spider-Man, and I go and pick up my Spider-Man books, and if the Spider-Man books stop being good, then what does that person do? Do they try to find something else, or do they just go, well, this is not really speaking to me anymore, I must be done with comics, and they toss it aside, and then they're done, you know? I think this is a great way to get people to be excited about something new and to take that chance. That's really impressive.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, I hope it's just the beginning. I really think it might be. Even Marvel is definitely listening. They you know, look, I love Marvel Comics. David Gabriel, the vice president of sales and marketing there, is a great guy. But, yeah, I mean, you just, and I don't think there's, you know, it's not his fault. He can't do anything. You know, this is a big corporation that owns Marvel Comics, and that's the situation we're in, you know. And we're kind of in that situation now with DC. DC's got a lot going on, actually. I want to say some nice things about them. I don't know how much time we have left, because, like,
we're
I had
about the last 5 minutes, give or take. So.
Well, let me nail a couple things. One of the things going in this year, and 5 years ago, I couldn't even imagine going on these trips. 3 years ago, I could start to imagine it, but I couldn't imagine talking to people. Last year, I went, broke the barrier. This year, I had a big dedication. What everybody said last year, because what I didn't do last year was go to the parties. And everybody said, nope, parties are where all the business is done. It's where you make friends. That's how you meet people. That's where you get someone drunk, and now they're sending you free comics, you know, or whatever. So I went. Wednesday night was a reception. The conference started Thursday morning. Wednesday night, Jen and I went over, and sure enough, we had some drinks. And we were sitting at a table by ourselves, and I was still debating, you know, do I just go to bed? You know, I mean, I could, right? And I was like, no, Jen, we're going to do this. Like, screw the, like, we flew to Charlotte, we got 4 days, we're going to make this happen. So I got up, and she and I turned around, and she said, well, I'll tell you people's names for their name tags. Because that's a problem for me. I can't read people's name tags, let alone recognize their faces, right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge problem. So we turned around, and she said, and there were two people behind us talking, and one of them started to reach out a hand to me, and she said, well, that's Phil Boyle. Well, Phil Boyle is a good is a friend of mine. He runs he might be the most successful retailer in the country. He's everybody's friend, so it's not special, to, you know. But sure, I mean, sure. So he runs a chain of 8 shops in Florida. Absolutely phenomenal guy. He deserves every bit of success that he's got. Also, he just wrote a book called Sanctified Ground that you can buy on Amazon. I bought it, started reading it on the plane to and from. So nice. I shook his hand and said, I got my digital copy of Sanctified Ground. He signed it for me. So anyway, he was talking to Nancy Spears, who is the who is the president of sales for DC Entertainment.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go.
I talked to the president of DC Entertainment Sales Department for an hour, two-on-one, at this party. I mean, I'm not kidding. This was just like, my mind is blown, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, the general manager of Diamond Comics Distributors, Chris Powell, walked up, and I talked to him for an hour. I got this was what this weekend was like for me. I mean, I went from the scared kid who can't even imagine shaking someone's hand or saying who he was, you know. These are the people that I talk to, you know. And you know what? They're just people. Yeah. You know, despite their job title, it turns out that they're just human beings like the rest of us who just happen to have those job titles, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's just like I learned this weekend that I can hold my own with anybody in that room. You know, I'm in Fargo. So it's not, I mean, I'm not in Florida. I'm not going to have a chain of 8 stores, you know.
Right.
So what? I mean, that isn't a measure of my intelligence or right. whatever, you know. And I learned one thing I did. I don't have all the relationships because I haven't been doing this for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But I'm building them now. And I don't have all the experience or wisdom. But I'm learning. You know, I went in last year with a lot of ideas and they got checkmated at every turn. But I understand better why, you know. And so on and so forth. So anyway,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more to that show, but I think that was a good place to end it, is like, especially with the Paradox theme, right? Like, if you're in that position I was in 3 years ago or 5 years ago, it's time to break that shell. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, I want to be a powerful voice. I want you to be this. That's what I want Paradox to be. I want you to be better people because you hang out at Paradox. I want you to shop at Paradox because that's what we do. You know, it's an era of Amazon. It's an era of all this stuff. And I need the support of my customers, but I need to earn that support. And the way to do that is to lead with positivity and empowerment. And that's exactly what this store is out to do. And that's what I walked out of that show of, just like, yeah, you know, I don't know that I want to be a member of Comics Pro. There are a lot of voices in there that don't think the same way that I do. And because they're so individualized, you know, it's hard. I don't know that Comics Pro can ever actually be what it wants to be. But I want to be a force. Getting retailers together with publishers is great. You know,
yeah.
It's the voice of the organization and what it could ever be that concerns me about paying dues to it to be part of combative people. There were some embarrassing moments early on. There were retailers who were just yelling at DC. And DC had answered questions and had given... They were mad over Walmart sales of Walmart getting DC books. Mm-hmm. One of the first things Dan Didio did was announce changes to that program. And it didn't matter to those retailers. They picked up the mic and they hammered them. It's like,
right,
okay, you made a change. But it's why you made the decision in the first place. That we, you know, it's just, they would not let it go. And I thought, I don't want to pay my money to have Dan Didio think that I support that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So, yeah. I don't know. So I'm searching for my role. But I think my role, and I think Paradox Comics, we can be a voice for our customers, but our customers can be a voice for the whole industry. But they got to be our customers. You know, mm-hmm. we've got to build this. We've got to rebuild, not rebuild. We've got to continue to build Paradox. And for all the right reasons, and I want everybody along for the ride. I want you. So we're going to start by buying Once in Future, number one.
There you go.
So anyway,
excellent. Well, yeah, no, a lot of good stuff there, and I'm sure there'll be more stuff to discuss tomorrow night, February 26th, around 6 p.m. right here on Facebook and Twitch, when the Paradox Comics Show comes back on for its weekly excursion into the world of comic books. So tune in for that. There will be some more interesting stuff there for sure. And come by the shop. and check out what's going on. We have been talking a lot about change, and we're just going to kind of keep.
No, we're done talking.
Well, we're doing.
If you saw the post this morning, we ain't talking about change anymore. That store is being remodeled, and it's closing in on the end of that. The website is launched. Josh is hired. Game day is here. Comic subscriptions have been overhauled. I mean, think of that so far. I'm going to tell you this. By Free Comic Book Day, I believe we will have a loyalty program in place that's been asked for a long time. We have a giant event coming in April to raise some cash, clear some shelves, and get ready for the new inventory that's going to be here. Mid-June, we're going to have a re-grand opening for the store. Those are the big things. It's the nuts and bolts things that I'm most interested in. What are we doing every day? How are we treating people individually every day? Those are the things that are going to really matter. Not just Paradox has a great record of doing huge in scope things. What we need to do is the absolute one-on-one, shaking the hands, pressing the flesh, you know, building the family. That's the future. It's the past of Paradox. It's how we got here. And I think it got lost a little bit somewhere along the way. And now that's the future of Paradox. So it's our fundamentally who we've always been, and not being afraid to announce that and tell you that and acknowledge that is a really key thing to what we're doing. So
absolutely. And you know, just like what with Boom Studios is doing, like we've been talking about, a lot of it is on you guys as well. We want this store to be what you want it to be. So we're going to put all these changes in. There's the remodel, there's all these changes to make everything better, but we absolutely need the support. So, you know.
We do, and I had a therapist over a year ago tell me, we did when we were doing Nerd Dependence Day last year, my last thought, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things I put in there was, I think, you know, like celebrating that it's okay to be you, or something like that was our tagline, right? Mm-hmm. And she loved it, but she said, why don't you just go all in? You know, like, it's still a half measure that it's just the tagline for the event, you know, like, get this all over the place, like, make this your message. And that's exactly what I came back from Charlotte ready to do. You know, I learned from one of the number one social media expert in the comic book business. I talked to him for half an hour, and I mean things like that, right? And I know exactly where to take us. Anyway, I mean that's just the way it is. So, I'm sorry. My therapist said also. I said what I'm afraid to do is tell people that we're in trouble. Because I don't like that, right? Like, and we're not, to be clear, we're not in trouble. Like, Paradox is going out of business.
Right.
But we're in trouble in being able to provide the things that we want to provide, and being able to have the quality of life we all want to have, and being able to hire Josh to make things better. You know, those are the ways in which we are in trouble. But in an era of Amazon, I think Paradox needs to ask you to shop here, and I think we found the right way to do it. We don't want to ask you to shop here with our hat in our hands. That's what I hated. I hate that idea. And you see this a lot. You see people posting like that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the wrong way to do it. I want to ask you to shop with me for the right reasons. You know, not to shop local, not to come out, you know, shop because my hat's in my hand. None of that. I want you to be part of something bigger than me and bigger than you, and that's why I want you here. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks again, folks. For those of you who are tuning in and watching us live, we appreciate it. Of course, we love getting the comments and stuff. I'm sorry there was someone who commented on Twitch, and I totally missed it because it was on the computer screen over there. So if you're still listening, I apologize. I didn't mean to ignore you.
What was the comment?
Oh, it was something about, let's see, the Oscars have kind of lost touch with audiences and I guess possibly even in general, you know, the whole idea of celebrating movies rather than, you know, being all, we're the Oscars. So, and I do agree to a pretty big extent. I could go on for that for a lot longer, but we've run to the end of our time here.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Daryl Erdman just said that he had the opportunity to stop in on Saturday and saw the remodel and said everything's looking great. So thank you. Appreciate you dropping by the store.
You have no idea, Daryl.
It's only going to get better. Yeah, so. So, thanks again for everybody who is checking out the podcast, whether live or when it posts. This will be posted later this evening when I get a chance to get it on to the website. But definitely check out the new website, ParadoxCNC.com. Same address as before, but a total overhaul of the website. Lots of changes still being made, but lots of good stuff on there. So we hope that you like and find that to be a useful tool in getting information and signing up for events and all sorts of good stuff. So check out the event calendar.
Calendar, e-commerce, mm-hmm. blogs, landing pages for all our favorite things. Josh running the thing. You know, there you go.
Yeah, and Matt Jensen just popped in to say that the friendly, pleasant atmosphere had him and his wife loyal to the shop. Glad to hear about the busy happenings, and looking forward to Saturday. We're looking forward to it, too.
Matt, are you aware of the new website with the registration system so you and your wife could sign up for the events that you want? If you're not, I can send you the link. Like Josh said, ParadoxCNC.com. But honestly, like, please... please go check that out, and we really would love it if people used it so we can anticipate, you know, plan, you know, so we know who's coming to what. So
absolutely, and it does help to reserve your space because we yep. don't know exactly how busy it's going to be, and if a game can only have four people in it, you know, it's nice to grab two of those spots right away if you want them.
Yeah, odds are we're still growing, and it'll be similar to last month, but one of these months that thing is going to take off, and you're going to show up, and you're not going to get a spot. So,
yes, so check that out tomorrow night again at 6 p.m. Tuesday the 26th. That will be the comics show, weekly show every Tuesday night. So tune in and check that out. Rich will be here along with Darren and possibly others.
I think Brandon will probably be here. So unless we just go Darren and me just because we're going to talk about comics. Well, Brandon will be here. So
they'll be talking some more about Comics Pro and some of the things that they got there. So check that out. Thursday night this week is our usual board game stream. So tune into that as well. We're going to be playing... a new game that one of our members got a hold of. It's called Good Dog, Bad Zombie, where you play a bunch of dogs trying to save human beings from zombies. And apparently they have a link on their site where you can create a character with using your own dog. So basically you assign it like its abilities and stuff, but you can put like a picture of your dog on there and stuff. So my little Lhasa Apso King Charles Cavalier mix, Professor Drake the Furious, will be making an appearance. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, so we hope you'll tune in for that. Other than that, thanks again for supporting the store. Thanks for supporting the podcast. Rich, any last words before we sign off?
No, I'm great. I got a lot to do to get ready for tomorrow night, and I'm just tired. I want to write a blog about my experiences, but I decided that, you know, like more cogent voices in the industry than me will cover the big picture. So expect a blog from me this week on what it's like to be blind and traveling across the country and trying to participate in a convention. I think that is the best contribution that I can make, because it's, you know, we all struggle with fears on those trips, but I'm going to put you in the perspective of somebody with a disability as well. And talk about, you know, what I do, what I'm learning to do, what I'm afraid to do, and things like that. So that'll be kind of my context for the con. So,
excellent. So look forward to that. Paradox CNC on Twitter, or at Paradox CNC, Paradox CNC on Instagram. We hope that you'll find and follow us on all those platforms. And again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.